Blog Talk Radio.
Okay, good morning. My name's L.A. Davis, and the program that you're listening to is titled It's My House. And we're going to probably have a short program this morning. But anyway, the topic, well, you see the title, ASL. Okay. Basically, if you don't have your name on a lease or your name on a deed, you are homeless. Okay. And we're going to give you some, and now we're talking about legally. So some people do manufacture documents, manufacture rental agreements, lease agreements, even these, they do that fraudulently. You're homeless too. So if you got to create or commit a criminal act to put your name on one of these instruments, you're homeless as well. So what I'm going to do this morning is basically give you some quick tips on, you know, what you can do so you will not be homeless, not be houseless, whatever you want to call it. And I forgot the name of the program, but I didn't say it. It's My House. We typically talk about different various aspects of private property rights issues. This is an area of it, and very important. Like I say, if you do not have your name on a lease and or deed, legally speaking, okay, no identity fraud involved. Because identity fraud is probably the number one crime that is committed on a daily basis, on a global basis. So if it does not, you are homeless as well if you have fraudulently placed your name on a rental agreement, lease agreement for housing or deed. Better known as identity fraud. That's just two types of it. You are homeless as well. So what we want to do is get out some information on quick tips on what you can do to not be homeless. I'm going to put it in the chat room too. So hello to the person. Good morning to the person in the chat room. I'm still learning how to drive this thing. I'm juggling our chat room plus Twitter plus Facebook. Now, like I say, if you got any questions, give us a call at 619-768-2945. That's 769. Excuse me, that's all wrong. I'm reading backwards. 619-768-2945. That's 619-768-2945. If you have any questions, I'm just giving off some tips right here, and sort of make this a brief broadcast. And then tomorrow we have Albert Lee back in, because tomorrow we start our creating money series. As a matter of fact, I'll go through some of the topics that will be presented in that series, which starts tomorrow. So that's the Creating Money series, which will be very beneficial. And those all convert into webinars and offline workshops as well. Okay, now, some quick tips on what to do to not be homeless or become homeless. It sounds better. Number one, just a quick tip, we'll have for other shows that will give details on this along with webinars where you can actually see this and offline workshops where you can actually participate in some of these ideas. Anyway, number one, so you can prevent homelessness or come up out of it is build your own home. Okay, now... and I'm putting an asterisk on this one. Build your own home with a small debt. And when I say small debt, I'm saying something that would be on a terms of a car note. You know, something that you can pay off in 36 to, 48 months, somewhere in that ballpark. And, you know, something where the payments hopefully are no more than $500 a month, $250 to $500 a month, and you've actually paid off the house within, you know, let's say 36, 48 to 50 months, somewhere in that 60 months, really. You've got the house paid off. So build a house and do it with, if you need to finance it, because everybody's got different whims and whatnot, something that you can pay off in no more than 60 months. Next thing is, now don't worry about how you're going to get the credit. Just plant that idea in your mind. We're going to have other shows as well as webinars and offline events to show you how to do that. The next thing idea I want to throw out there on how to reverse homelessness is build your home with no debt. As I mentioned on other broadcasts, 200 years ago, 250 years ago, most people that most people were homeowners 250 years ago. You know, the industrial age created people with debt and renters, if you study your history on this. So the best way to go is to build your own home with no debt. Now, we're going to show people how to do that, too, we're going to have to do that via a webinar. We will have extended radio talk shows strictly on this topic, how to build your own home without debt. And then we're going to have offline workshops, which you can actually participate in, so you can get a hands-on, see it, feel it, touch it, experience, that type thing. So that's the second idea. If you are homeless and you want to reverse that, because basically it comes down to education. If you become aware that if you're not educated on something, you can always learn something. So we take people who have no building experience whatsoever and then teach them how to build their own home. The next idea would be you don't want to build your own home using small debt or no debt, then buy your own home. Now, I would suggest buy a home that you can afford. Hopefully you can buy it with all cash. And you don't have to borrow any money. And in that case, I would suggest, particularly here in the United States, and in the people that are listening globally, the United States has a glut, which means a lot of bank-owned real estate available for sale. And a lot of it is going on the cheap. I mean, there's wholesale prices, and then there's what I call sub-wholesale prices. So you can buy homes in various parts of the United States for $5,000 or less. Many times, these properties do need work. But, a bargain is a bargain is a bargain. So there are various banks. I'm not going to promote any banks, but just go online and, contact the REO department of a bank. And that REO means real estate owned. Contact them and then ask them to fax you or email you a list of properties that they have for sale. And then they'll fax it to you or email it to you. So call a bank. You can go direct on that, and you'll be fascinated by that. And then while it's on my mind, you can call the county tax assessor's office in various counties throughout the United States and find out about their property tax sale auctions that they typically have maybe about once a year, and see what they have to sell. And that's another way to get properties at a very good price. Next thing is, going back to the bank-owned property thing, most banks now are probably working with a real estate agent. So I would call a real estate company and ask to speak to the agent, the real estate agent that handles REO properties. They'll know what you mean, bank foreclosures. And then, you know, they'll ask you what your requirements are and that type thing, and, you know, they'll send you a list. Now, some of you that might have a small budget of $5,000 or less, it can be even $2,000, because there are homes out here, believe it or not, that you can buy for $2,000 all cash. No, that's the purchase price, and then add on maybe another $1,000 for closing costs, depending on the jurisdiction that property is in. On this one, some real estate agents specialize in this, and they'll work with you. Others, they want a big payday. That's simply the newer agents. So you might have to shop around for agents. You won't have to do much shopping, but you can shop around. And then some people, if you live in a big, expensive metro area, like in Los Angeles County, Orange County, you might have to search in other counties in California to find something that will fit your budget. So if you don't mind driving an hour, 2 hours, 3 hours, 4 hours away from where you are, it'll definitely be worth it. So, you know, call a real estate agent and ask to speak to the agent that handles REO properties. The next idea I'm throwing out, so you can reverse homelessness, would be repair your social network. A friend of mine told me real Social Security is in your social network. And another friend told me relationships are more important than money. And relationships, individual relationships, are the basis of your social network. So if you have a broken social network, could be friends, could be family, typically it's family, if you can repair that social network, then the homelessness can vanish in an instant, and then you can basically use that relationship and stay on their sofa, couch, what have you, couch surf. You might have a spare bedroom, basement, garage, what have you. So you got a roof over your head while you're repairing that relationship, which will allow you to save on expenses and then eventually, you know, go out and get something on your own, a property with your own name legally on the deed. So repair your social network. Now, for some people who do not have a social network, then what I would suggest is go out to the park, go out to events, go to a house party or something, a museum, or just get right here online and start networking with people and create a social network, because all networks start with one person. So make it a goal. It might be a goal of, you know what, I'm going to make – or attempt to make one new friend a day. And you can do it offline or online or a combination of the two. And some of those contacts will stick, some of them won't. But, I mean, if you do this religiously for 365 days out of a year, I mean, you know, 10% of, let's round that down to, what, 300? 10% of that is 30. So, and if you know, 30 people, that's a lot of people. There's only 30 days in a month. No. And even 1% of that, three. Three people, three quality people, you know, in your social network could radically change the world that you live in. So create, if you don't have a social network, then create one starting today and expand on it. And then the people who already have a social network, no matter how small or how large it is, expand it. Now ask yourself this basic question. How many people can I go to right now and say, look, can you put me up for a day, a weekend, or unlimited? This is, you know, in your quiet time, well, later today or tomorrow morning, whenever you do your quiet time. Ask yourself that question. And, you know, including how many people can you go to, ask yourself this question, how many people can I go to and say, look, you know, I'm flat broke. Can you loan me $5? Or, and then make a list. And then put another category there, same question, but increase the dollar amount. How many people can I go to and ask for $50 or $100? You know, go up to $1,000. And that will reveal where you need to work on your social network. Because there's some people in this world that can go get on a telephone and in their social network, they can ask people for, you know, $20,000, $50,000, $100,000, or even $1 million. So we all put on our shoes the same way, one at a time. So no matter what station you are in life right now, homeless or not homeless, sit down, because your social network is your best asset. It's your most valuable asset. And I would say I would consider it the number one asset that you should have in place to prevent being homeless or turning the tables on being homeless, or as out as the title of the show was labeled. So those are some basic, simple things you can do to get on your way to having your name on, legally having your name on a deed or a lease. And while you're at it, work out ways, educate yourself on ways to keep that property once you get it, because as I said at the top of the show, identity theft is the number one crime on planet Earth. It's considered a white-collar crime, but no matter what country, no matter what language, can you imagine that? There are over 6,000 languages spoken on planet Earth. So you got 7 billion people, so but that's the number one crime on the planet. Let me see. I'm going. Robin, are you there?
Good morning.
Good morning. Thanks for dropping in. Basically, we got a short show today. I've gone through some basic points on the topic that you thought of. If your name is not on the lease or deed, you're homeless. I gave six basic points on how people, general points on how what people can do to reverse that. Each one of those is short itself, but I just wanted to give bullet points on that. But any thoughts or information that you want to add to the not on the deed or lease or examples?
Just that people, they really need to take seriously. A lot of people, when we go to tell them that your name is not on the lease, they're not going to take it very seriously. They're going to be like, I've been living at my mother's house all my life, and I've always lived here. But if you're a person that's not on the lease, let's say you're living with friends or relatives or family, and something happens, and let's say they lose the home or there's a death or something like that, you're out. You're out with any rental history, anything like that, and it's very, very difficult to get people to rent to you. I don't care if you've got good credit. I don't care if you have money. If you don't have a good rental history, that's what they call it, a good rental history, it's very, very difficult to get into housing. It is very, very difficult. And so I would just like for people to be aware how vulnerable that they are. And just everybody, I don't care what situation that you're in, just look at your situation and start looking at any and all options to maintain or prevent homelessness, because we are all actually very, very vulnerable, more than what we even realize. Yeah.
Right. You're right. A lot of people are very vulnerable, and they don't even know it. So,
mm-hmm.
Matter of fact, tomorrow we'll have Albert Lee back, and
okay.
to help, he'll be speaking about Amish economics.
Mm-hmm.
And this grew out of one of the ideas that I don't know, somebody came up with last week, but anyway. to reverse this homeless situation that exists out here, we've got a series that starts tomorrow titled Creating Money. So we're going to define money tomorrow and how every individual can actually create it. I didn't say print it. I said create it. And some of the topics. Now, tomorrow, Albert Lee will be on. And this is all response. This all ties into if your name is on, because we wanted to get your name on a deed or on a lease. So he'll be speaking about Amish economics tomorrow, which will be the kickoff of the Creating Money series. And then, this next topic, and this is in no particular order, the rest of these programs, part of the Creating Money series is growing your own food. That's where this came from, because we got to talk about, I believe Sylvia was on here talking about that. She grows food. It's like printing money or creating your own. I mean, if you grow your own food, that means you don't have to actually spend dollars at the grocery store.
Yeah.
So we'll have part of the series will be on growing your own food. And all these correspond with an offline workshop where we get our hands dirty and stuff like that. So growing your own food, generating your own electricity, supplying your own water, generating your own heat, building your own home, developing your own capital, developing your own social security.
I've got, remind me that I have an interesting tidbit of information about growing our own food.
Could you share it now?
Oh, yes, I will. I'm glad you asked. A few years ago, Obama got up on a Sunday night in the middle of the night, and he put some certain aspects, I can't really say it right, but he put certain aspects under the Homeland Security, okay? And Homeland Security has been trying to either get in act or enact. What they want to do is they say that if you grow your own food on a farm, on a home, even if it's just for your individual use. They're trying to make it a law that we cannot grow our own food unless we have a refinery on there to process it. And if for an individual, you're not going to be, Also, seeds are all modified that you buy in the United States. They're all modified, and when you get them, they only grow for one season. You know how you can plant a seed and it bears seeds and it will keep regrowing and reblooming every year? Try that with an American-grown seed. You have to plant fresh seeds.
Yeah, Monsanto. You're right.
There are things being implemented that are designed to actually keep us right where we're at, you know?
Say that again, break that down again.
The Obama, he got up in the middle of the night and they placed some faction of something under Homeland Security. I forget right now, I have to look it up. And then what Homeland Security is doing is going about the food and also the shots. That's what it was. The immunization. There was that bird flu on that bird flu going around, and they were wanting everybody to get vaccinated. Okay? Well, they were trying to say that they're trying to enact a law that if you do not take the vaccination, you'll be quarantined. And he got up in the middle of the night. It was a Sunday night, about 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning, and passed it through, and somebody sharp on the API network saw it and put it out there. But, yeah, so it's that, the food, the seeds, and all of that. But, yeah, there are things that are being taken away from us, or we're going to be downright blocked from the government from accessing, and they're already systematically taking stuff away from us or making it illegal to do it.
Well, right now we can still grow food, though.
We can still grow food right now.
Yes. Although there are examples around the country where even on your private property, there are ordinances in certain places where, like, what, 2 years ago, I saw something on Facebook. This lady, she got arrested for growing food in her front yard. You know, the code enforcement people, which I call the new Gestapo, they gave her, said she can grow it in the back of her house, which she was doing. But she owns the house. So you should be able to grow food anywhere on that property. But they, and the way to reverse that is we need to have more people growing their own food and get politically active. So no silly law like that will get on the books.
And you better do it now because they're doing it without putting laws on books. They come at you with the FCC violations, with all kind of health code laws violations, and you will get fined. You can even get jailed without even being put into a court of law or having to face any charges.
Well, she got put in jail for immediately, but she was given a warning.
I'm saying though that they can go and they can do that without. There's no law on the books. It's just an ordinance or something that she didn't commit a criminal act, and this is what I'm saying. They're going to be able to jail you and things like that, and take you into court and hem you up without a legal due process, really.
Right. I saw a TED Talk. I wish I could remember that guy's name. I think it was out in Los Angeles, somewhere out in California, one of the coastal cities out there. He was growing food on the land. You know, like in front of a house, and then you got the sidewalk, and then you got another patch of land, earth.
Yep.
There,
yeah.
I mean, not all homes have it, or subdivisions, but so we was going through there because it was right in front of the house, and he got in trouble over that. I think later on, because I think people got behind him, and you know, got a long pass where you can actually do that. But at first, he got in, you know, it's amazing that a lot of people can throw trash on the ground and not get arrested, but he got throwing food and got in trouble for that. But I think they you know, eventually got that.
I had an observation the other day on the show. One of the ladies said how the police were chasing them off and things like that, they chased them out of the alley and off of the rooftop and stuff like that when they tried to go out and experience being homeless. I observed that the police will go and just like the code enforcement, okay, aggressively search out the homeless people and root them out and tell them to move on. And they'll be more diligent about that if you think about how they are on the dope addicts and stuff and that they're out there trying to arrest and scurry. They're even more so with the homeless people. And the homeless people, they haven't broken any laws or committed any crimes. They're just trying to stay warm, dry, and survive. And they get, even the police will tell them, run along. And they get treated worse than the worst. They get outcast, shunned. And all of that. That's the reason why a lot of people still commit suicide after that. Because, I mean, even when the police turn you away and all you're trying to do is stay alive, come on. You know what I'm saying? Where is your hope? Yeah.
Right. I know they, I know in, I guess, Pinellas County, Florida, the Tampa Bay area, where they had set up tent cities, they were, actually, it was homeowners. They didn't want to have the tent cities there, but it's a big issue. So that's why we're dedicating a significant amount of time on this. So people that are listening, if you're into gardening, I suggest getting together with your other gardeners, including your tabletop ones in apartments, and you might want to get politically active before you have to, so you can get laws on that will protect your rights to garden inside your home, in your backyard, side yard, or front yard, before it gets, you know, totally, well, it is, like I say, if you own a patch of land, you should be able to plant what you want to plant anywhere around there. And, it's not going to hurt the grocery stores.
What?
The grocery stores still prosper. You know, there's people like me down there.
They may and they may not. Ain't nothing going to prosper if commerce gets shut down and there's no commodities or nothing coming on the trains. Are the trucks to bring, you know, it's everything. It's not, we're not going to be able to go into the store and buy food, people. You're just not, and it's going to happen really quick. You're going to have all that money in your pocket, and the value of the currency is, you know, it's just going to be no good. So you're going to have, you need to be prepared to eat, to grow your own food, to do whatever. You need to be prepared to trade and barter skill sets or assets in order to survive. You need to repair your social network. And people are going to have to pull together and pull their resources and stuff like that and be creative, because the money, all of that, it's a whole new thing. And so you're going to have to be able to adjust. We're not going to be able to just flip that switch. Okay, we'll be able to flip that switch, but you're going to have the government actually starting to withhold and deny us from that, and they already systematically are taking it away from us, and they have been for decades. So,
yeah, that's true. That's true. And you make another good point. Skill sets are assets. Mm-hmm. Yeah, because a lot of us look at assets in an inaccurate way. They think, you know, a big bank account is an asset. Yeah, it could be. I mean, but that can evaporate.
Yeah, your skill sets are something that's tangible, more tangible nowadays than money. Your skill sets, your what you have, what you can do with your hands, with your work, what you can put in, it's valuable and it's tangible. And they're going to have to be tangible. Money will no longer be tangible. How about that? You'll see. You don't believe me. You're going to say, oh, she's crazy, but you'll see.
Matter of fact, because I'm taking notes as you speak. I'm just added that on to one of our Creating Money series things. Skill sets are more skill sets are assets. And
yes.
They're actually money because they can be converted into many different types of money. So that's part of like building out. That's what we want to do, the building your own home thing without debt. Because that's a skill set.
Yeah.
You know, if you got that skill set, you can go. What kind? Like I said, there are over 6,000 languages spoken on planet Earth. If you know how to build your own home without debt, okay, essentially, you go to each one of those countries or each one of those communities that have over 6,000 languages, and you can survive and prosper.
Now, see, that's tangible. You're going to have to be able to do something tangible and trade and barter. Okay?
Right.
We laugh at it now. We don't got no use for it now, but and we still practice it. We just don't have very much regard for it. But really, you need to hold up on it because what are you going to do when you wake up and all that happens? You're going to be forced to look at each other and get together. Nowadays, nobody wants to be bothered with nobody. You know, nobody wants to help nobody. But that's why they sit and they're stuck in a slump and they have a hard time overcoming. And those people, you know, we see people that go out and they get homeless and they become despondent and they die. That's because they have no more resources and they have not gleaned from the aspect of social networking. And they either they're antisocial or there's something that keeps them from being able to connect and make that social. It could be pride, it could be ego, it could be shame, it could be drug, it could be anything. But there's a specific reason. But if you don't connect to people, if people don't connect to people and help each other, it's just what God says: love one another, help one another, forgive one another, teach one another. You know what I'm saying? And so we came from that, and we got to get back to that. And if we don't get back to that, you're just not going to make it. So
let me ask you this, Robin, now, because you've mentioned to us on the show, shared with us on the show, that you were homeless for 10 years. Obviously, you developed a skill set, but I wanted to probably several different skill sets that you can only get through real-life university. But one skill set I would like you to comment on right now, which I believe is a necessary skill set that I'm learning and learning in part from you, that can take a person out of homelessness would be social networking. Could you teach us, give us like at least some basics on social, because they're not teaching this at Harvard or Yale. I mean, you can't learn a book. So could you share, because this, whoever listens to this broadcast, most people listen to it on demand, this is a skill that everybody needs to learn. So could you share some of the basics on how we can learn this, what we need to do to learn it, and then give some examples of maybe how a person can take this skill set as they learn it, and then take steps, baby steps, to go from being homeless to getting their name on a deed or a lease.
Mm-hmm. the social networking on the internet, I would try to relate it or correlate it to word of mouth. Okay, you know how offline. Let's say L.A. You tell me, wow, I like you told me the other day. I watched, what's that guy's name, Dexter, and I go, oh, Dexter, right now. He has talked to me, and I've talked to him. Okay, maybe we don't know each other all that well. That's okay, but we're familiar with each other now, and so because he's interested in it, it's piqued my interest. So now I may go and watch Dexter, okay?
Right.
And then now guess what? The two of us have given each other contact, social contact, okay? And we've each given each other some information, and we both spread in it, and then together. You've got those two people, L.A., he has everything that he knows how to do, his education, his experience, and you have Robin Lynn, okay? You take that off, Robin Lynn starts going, wow, I saw Dexter because L.A. told me to, right? Well, guess what?
Right.
Anybody that I tell, they may not ever meet L.A., but just because I say L.A., blah, 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 and anytime I come saying L.A. said this, they're going to become cool because they know me and trust that I know you, you know, and it goes like that, okay? On the internet, mm-hmm. when you share, when you post something and somebody likes it and makes a comment back, they have made a connection with you, okay? Now, how it becomes word of mouth is if you put a post, somebody likes it, you go back to that post and you see that they like it and you go, wow, thank you for dropping by or liking my thing. And then they remark back. That's a full 360 when you know each other. And on the internet, that is a solid connection. And let's say LA has 5,000 people and I have 100. Well, together we've got 5,100 people of resources and things like that, that you can get information out, marketing out, you know, entertainment out, all that out to, okay? Now, it becomes tangible. It's very, very, very important. It's about relationship. You have to develop
right.
relationship, okay? I had to have some sort of relationship with you to go, wow, when you told me to go, that you like Dexter. And on the internet, you have to develop relationship, and it's just by contacting, it's just by communicating, it's just by dialogue, okay?
Right.
And then when you do that, you can network all over the world, and it's very, very important. It's just like you say, do you know someone that you can call up and say, hey, can I come? I'm coming to Texas for a week. Can I come stay there? You know, now I have a very, very healthy social network, okay? Didn't even know it. I began it when I was homeless, okay?
Okay.
I met a woman offline, okay, and who was doing advocating and veteran work online. I joined her online. And we became very big online, right, working alongside each other, living in the local area, but we worked online. That was where our
right.
relationship was. Well,
uh-huh.
A few years ago, I got displaced. And so I called my friend, and I go, I we're having some problems, and we have to get out of the house, and blah, 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 and it's unexpected, and I need about 3 months. And so she goes, oh, no problem. Me and my husband are going to Mexico for 3 months. We needed some money to watch the dogs and blah, blah, blah. So I got to stay in a lovely condo at the bottom of Mount Rainier for 3 months, rent free. You know, I didn't have to pay her anything like that. Because, and so you can use that to live. On the homeless,
right.
I don't even know if I'm answering all your questions now, and I'm sorry, but the homeless, when they're out there, they do that. They have a communication network that is so fast and so swift without a telephone, you know, or the drug addicts, for example. The drug addicts and the homeless, okay, they know when the police is coming because they have to scurry for them. You would think, well, if you're homeless and if you're not doing anything, why do you have to watch out for the police like you're a criminal? Because you get treated worse than a criminal. You get treated worse than that, you know. But it's about relationship. And you need to, it's about relationship, and it's about combining, leveraging your assets. If you go back to, like you said, the Amish ways, the olden days, the way it was done, the men were raised knowing how to build a home. The girls
right.
were raised knowing how to sew and things like that. You look at these young kids now and even ask them about something simple, and they in maintaining a home or going into an adult and living their life, they can't do it. They're not taught. And so because of that, and because the value of the currency of money is going, we're going to have to just band together, and everybody's going to have to put in whatever they know, whatever they can do. You're going to have to work, you know. Let's say a catastrophe happens in the neighborhood, and we have to grow our own food. Well, maybe old Widder Smith over here, whose husband died, she's sitting on a plot of land. And she's got maybe a couple of animals, but she's sick or frail. And then maybe there's a young couple neighbor with two kids, and they're strong and burly. Maybe they can get together and go work the land, and they can all grow, and they can all eat. You see what I'm saying? And survive.
Right.
And people, you better believe me, we are going to have to get together and start doing that now, because it's a false sense of security. It feels like it's okay, but what happened that made it okay? You know what I'm saying? A few short months ago, even a year ago, everybody was in an uproar about the Ponzi scheme, housing market, unemployment. A year ago, now it's calm. It seems like it's calm, but the value of currency is going. And so, people, you got to social network. And especially, I'm going to tell you this, too. You're going to get hemmed up, and we're not going to even be able to get on the Internet. So you need to get to the mobile network. And I saw this from you. When you showed me that audio now, okay, there are people that are streaming. They're doing it in Africa and over there that BBC is doing it. They're streaming through the telephone. Through the mobile network. Oh, my God.
Yep.
And so you need to get established on the Internet to develop your social network, because we're not going to be able to do that either. I know that people are listening to me and they're going, man, there's not going to be no Internet. Everything is going to the mobile network. And you've got two things going on. You have the government that is systematically taking things away from us. And even the means, they're even going to make it illegal for us to recover ourselves. And they're already doing it. They go, no, they're not. They're already doing it when they tell us that it's illegal for us to go around and tell each other the truth of the matter, that you can take minerals and supplements and heal or prevent or cure disease. But they don't want you to know that, because if you do that, you won't be going to the doctor for the doctor that's actually forced to prescribe you meds, you know?
Right.
It's just a big mess. But you want to get on your social network and you want to develop that. It's very, very essential, because from that you can get things done. If you need a place to stay, if you need to borrow money, if you need to eat, if you're trying to find a job. Not necessarily that the people that you're connecting with can give you that, but they can tell you Maybe they've heard of something, and it's just a wonderful thing that even God has shown us. Jesus came down here, and he showed us. He walked, and he stopped. And every time he stopped and talked to someone, that was a chat room. And everybody
right.
was there social networking. They were connecting. Uh-huh. They were saying, like,
yeah,
oh, there goes Jesus.
Fact, like. Yeah, matter of fact, with all the last one of the miracles that are recorded via Jesus, basically it was social networking events.
Yep. Yep.
Every last one of them, you can say, basically was a chat room. They took place in the chat room, and they were social networking, and a miracle happened.
Yeah. You have to be open. And listen, you have to utilize it smart. People get on there nowadays. Ever since they started with that reality TV, everybody can just be a star now. And so people are going on the internet, and they're making these identities, and they're living out these whole lives. But it can really be harmless. But you really want to use it like money, okay? And you want to use it to position. You want to use the internet to position yourself, and because it's a great reflection on you, it really is. People are even looking at your Facebook to determine if they want to give you a job or not, give you insurance or not. Even society is turning to the social networking, and if your social networking is not just so, it will be held against you. And guess what? They'll cast you out, and so much so, and then guess what? You don't get a job. You don't get nobody dealing with you. You're going to be homeless. Y'all better hear me.
Let me give an example. I have a friend of mine, I guess this maybe happened maybe 10 years ago or so. She lives in London, and she this is back in the 90s, late 90s. Anyway, she would spend 10, 12 hours a day online chatting. She would chat while she's on a job, come home, chat it up some more. And at the time, she had, I guess her daughters were preteens at that time. So she planned a trip over here to the USA with her daughters. And the trip, for this particular trip, there was a potential romantic interest. So she and her two daughters went there, and for whatever reason, things didn't work out, and she had to leave. So what she did was, I talk about, because she was facing with two preteen girls, being homeless on vacation, without children on vacation. What she did was she went online and talk about your skill set as an asset. Well, the skill that she developed was being nice, for one, and getting her chat on. So anyway, she went out. She just put the word out and didn't say anything bad about, you know, where she was stayed at, you know. And she was just asking for a place to stay. Now, a hotel recommendation, because she had money. She had vacation money, so she wasn't looking for a place to stay. Well, talk about the power of social networking. She got treated like a rock star. People came out of the woodwork offering her a place to stay, her and her two daughters, and her online friends refused to let her spend a dollar for housing, transportation, and meals. And it got to the point where basically she got rock star status, because I remember when she was making another trip over, and I talked to, we had a mutual chat buddy, and it was like, you know, it was easier to meet, the president at the time was George Bush. It was easier to meet Bush than her, because she just got, she was basically, the nice goes a long way, but, you know.
Yeah.
I
have, sometimes I have to stop and look out at all of my, at my profile from a public view, because I get these people, I guess I must look, I don't even know, but I have people that call me like the queen of streaming, Madam Queen. I mean, that's how they address me now. And I get treated like a rock star. I get treated, you know, very, very well. But also, I come and go helping and giving and things like that. And one of using the social networking, your work, I don't even have to say anything. I've never advertised or anything like that. And I don't charge. And I've got a hustling, bustling, very, very lucrative, profitable, I guess, business, and there's no money being made or anything, but there's just great blessings going out, you know? It's very, very fruitful, very, very prosperous.
Well, I was watching a YouTube video. They say, many things you said, and they said, eventually the money will come, because there are people online that, I know one guy, he raised like over $38,000 to do an independent movie. And he's out social networking on YouTube, Blog Talk, Twitter, U.S. Stream, you name it.
Yeah,
and
I
he's been doing it about 6 years now.
Well, see, I don't, for me, my goal is not to generate income. I'm a producer, you know, and I provide tech support services for people's internet, for their computer. I'm a minister, and so I use my platforms that I have not to make money, but to help people and to teach people.
Right.
That's what I use it for. So for me, it's a little flip floppy. It's hard for a lot of people to get. They don't get that I don't work for income. They go, well, how can you make it? And I go, I have the most successful business of all time. I have no overhead, no requirement, and everything that I'm doing, it's just ding, 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 right after another. It's just a win-win. I've got, my goodness, so many radio stations now and the channels, and there's comedy troupes coming. And hosting the radio shows. We've got your shows on, you know, I'm hosting with you. All of this coming out of connecting.
Right.
Networking, yeah. All of this came out of that. And by having dialogue and developing relationship.
Right, you're right. So social networking is a skill set that can bring a person out of homelessness.
Mm-hmm.
If they so choose, if, you know, that's what they want to do. So it's only limited to your imagination.
To the imagination now, because that's all that we can do is imagine it. But pretty soon, you're going to have to more than imagine it. You're going to have to grasp the concept. You're gonna have to get with it, because if you don't, you're not gonna be able to make it. If you're antisocial and all of that, get over it. Get social. If you're a person that doesn't want to be bothered,
You do have a lot of people these days that are anti. Social, but again, it's better. You know, actually, that's what the court system's all about to a high degree. A lot of, even the criminal system for some aspect, but a lot of the courts, people, most of the cases that are in the court system are basically social problems. You know, because if two people are able to communicate without hostility, because there's a problem. Actually, there's multiple solutions to every problem. So from anywhere from family court to even criminal court, there are people out here that have the same problem, but their social skills, you know, being nice, that goes a long, 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 long way. And listening to the other person, that goes a long, 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 long way. So those are two social skills that a lot of people have not developed, and therefore you have the court system, which is the government, and once you let them in your affairs, then they go sideways all kind of ways.
Oh, so, my goodness, yeah.
So
wow,
it's best
yeah.
to develop those social skills. And then take advantage of the social platforms. And God, there's so many of them. You'll never know them all.
Yeah. But it just gives you so many options that that you can, because you're going to have to make decisions and choices. Things are happening so fast, you know, and you're just going to have to be able to adjust. You're going to have to be able to think on your feet. You're going to have to be able to adjust. And you're going to have your family to do that. That's really all it is, you know. Your social networking is going to be your family, you know.
Exactly.
You need to think of it like this. Go out. You're in the world all by yourself, and it's a harsh world out there. And there aren't any things like money that you can use and to get along. So what are you going to do? Okay, how are you going to survive? Oh, there's other people out there that are like you. Well, what are we going to do? See, then you're going to be forced to look at things and means, and then you're going to start getting rocks and start stacking them up and, mixing the mud to make them stick together. See, that's how the cavemen did it. You see what I'm saying?
Right.
And we don't have to learn it that hard. The signs are on the wall, and we've already been taught, and we just have to get back to ways that we were. Okay? We laugh at the Amish. We laugh and we assassinate what we don't understand. Just like that woman yesterday that told us the misconception that the Africans hate us, but when they went over there, they were standing there waiting for them off the plane with open arms. And so we have to get together. We have to get back to some very basic practical practices. And you have to look at, just think about this. Just think of it like this. If you cannot go to the store and buy clothing or groceries or gasoline, what are you going to do? You're going to be forced to think of ways to either create it or, like some people do, steal it or whatever. But, I mean, what are you going to do? And it's really at that point. That's the point that we came from, and we need to get back to that, and we will. You know,
if a person has a significant social network, they can basically get whatever they need.
Sure can. You sure can.
A couple of bucks or a place to stay, food to eat. If you develop your social network significantly, it's right there.
And
so,
guess what? You know what? We don't necessarily have a choice about the jobs we get. We might have to take what we can get, and we might not like what we have to do to get that money. Okay, let me just say that. I don't care whether you're working or a hustler. I don't care, okay? But the social networking is more valuable than money. Like I couldn't have called up my friend and go, I need like about $5,000 to tie me through the next 3 months because we're displaced because of something happened in the home. You know, repairs needed in the home and we had to get out, right? Now, I couldn't ask her for that. But she says, come on, let me stay in her house. So the value of that, where she didn't give me $5,000, but the value of that, I stayed in the home.
Right.
I got to stay with the dog. I was safe. At the bottom of the mountain, it was lovely. Mountain air, health, vibrant. I mean, you get so much more just from that social connection.
You know, matter of fact, you make me, I'm taking notes while you're talking. This is an exercise we might do one day. Have people sit down and put a, what is the value of your social network? Monetary
yeah.
value.
Yeah.
Of your social network.
Yeah. And I think there's a way that they have a site or something that you can run it through and find out. But basically what you can do is you can just look at it and just pop it off in your head. Just like I did. You know, I stayed 3 months at my friend's house, and I figured the lights and everything that it took, the electricity,
oh,
right, the food
let's
I ate.
Let's take a look at that. Let's take a look at that. 3 months, right, how
okay.
much would you say a ballpark, what would your rent have been based on what you rented before? What's that figure?
Okay, I was paying $1,200 a month.
Okay, so well,
that's
$3,600 right there.
Right there.
Right
there.
Here. I mean,
and
let's
and
say
lights,
yeah,
food.
All right, add, all right. So what? Yeah. What else can we add? All right. Well, let me do it this way. All right. $1,200 a month rent, and then
uh-huh.
the other things. How much for food? And a month.
And then I would say gas. You know, because
yeah,
we're working.
Give me a ballpark figure for all that combined.
Okay. For food, I would spend a month. I'll help you like that. For food, I would spend a month $300.
All right.
So that's $900 right there. That's $900 more right there.
Well, no, we're, yeah, you're right. I'm up to $1,500 so far. $1,200
okay.
for rent. Five. You said.
Yep.
All right. Go ahead. What's the next figure?
And then for gasoline, gas is almost $4 a gallon then. So I would say I was driving to church every Sunday. Oh, goodness. I would say I was spending like, I would say $3.50 for gas a month.
$3.50 a month. Okay, that's reasonable.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I'm up to $18.50.
Yeah. And for me, that was, you know, that was about it. So if you times that times three, you know.
That's so $5,500.
Yeah. Now, see, now where I couldn't call her.
Yeah, so we're going to put that, let's say, round it up to $6,000.
Yep. Easy.
And let's
because
say
you've got her lights are still on, you know, all of that. You know, I still had to
right.
pay my... You know, pay my way once I was in there, too. And guess
mm-hmm.
what? She didn't charge
mm-hmm.
me for that, so we can add that on, add another 3 months' value on, because she didn't charge me. She didn't take a dime from me.
Right.
So she asked
right.
So she asked me, it doubled it for me. Yeah.
Yeah, so
now, if I had asked her, can
to...
I have...
Yeah, that's enough. Robin, so you got all these great ideas. I've added that on to Creating Money series. We're going to do
uh-huh.
And we just did a little small example of it, the monetary value of your social network.
Uh-huh.
Which is something
yeah.
that, you know what, we'll do it when we do our workshops. But,
yeah.
Yeah,
we,
a lot of people
need
think they end up homeless or whatever, because you can
yeah.
end up homeless all kind of ways. We already know that. But you're right. That social network, that your skill set.
Uh-huh.
Now, your
okay.
skill set, based on what I know about you, the little I know about you, your skill, one of your skill set is being nice. A lot of people don't think that's a skill set.
Oh, it saved
so
my life.
Nice.
That and humor. And humor, yep.
Right, and obviously, you're a good roommate, you know. So you didn't go in there eating all her food and all this other stuff. So basically, just from being nice and, you know, putting mm-hmm. humor in and being helpful and whatnot, that mm-hmm. the monetary value just for 3 months is over $6,000.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Over $6,000.
And that doesn't count. That's just for my living. That doesn't count the work that I was doing online, like the ministers and the ministries that I was teaching how to expand globally and stuff like that, just like I'm doing now with you. I had that going on too. I don't even know if I could put a value. We need to try to put a value on all this information and everything and that for you. We need to sum yours up.
Well, see, that's why I'm doing. See, I got this idea of creating money. Two shows ago this week when we were talking to you guys, we got on talking about growing food. Sylvie was online, and then G Hall came online. She's got a platform on. So that's when the idea, because the original idea man I had was printing money. I said, "Oh, wait a minute, creating is better than printing." I don't want to lead people to the wrong idea, because a lot of people look at money as dollar bills, you know, 20s, 50s, 500s, $100. No, that's just one form of money.
Yeah.
That's all it is. It's just one
I've made myself a form of money. I've made myself a form of money.
So that social network, which you just talked about, that's an exercise that we can do not only in a show format but offline as well as a webinar, because people really need to take assessment of that, and then they can work on. And this is where you come in at being a minister, the spiritual aspect. I mean, what do I need to do? Because if you can't go, listen, there's some people out here that can't even borrow $5 from anybody. That's $5.
Yeah.
Okay. So what is it about me that I'm not able to do this? Because a lot of people walk around with a victim complex or blaming others. No, look, you have to take a look at yourself. All right.
Mm-hmm.
So because same 24 hours a day, I'm going to take Donald Trump. Donald Trump can get on the phone, and through his social network, he can raise millions of dollars for, you know, a charity dinner. All right. So there's the same 24 hours in the day for Donald Trump as for anybody on the planet. The only distinction is social skills. And the easiest one to do is being nice. Some people have difficulties doing that, but being nice. And then, you know, like you say, networking. So a person, you can be a millionaire just on being nice. I mean, you might not have the cash in your bank account, but, like, now this is what I like about the ministry of Jesus, was he knew the source. So he didn't need to store away anything. I mean, like when he, like the feeding of the 5,000, that miracle, prosperity miracle, is recorded in all four Gospels. That's the only miracle that's recorded in all four Gospels, by the way, too.
Mm-hmm.
And so how did he do it? Obviously, he must have been a people person.
Yeah, you have to come. Okay, let's look at that. And when they were on one accord, what happened? Signs and wonders,
right.
The Holy Spirit came upon them, people were delivered, saved, salvation, okay?
Right.
So, and again, doing it like he did, Jesus walked up the earth and he showed us the way, okay? It's people coming together.
Right.
And when they were on one accord, when you come together,
and get on one accord, miracles happen.
That things happen. That's what I say. I say it in terms that I'm working into the people. And so I go, I've got a chat room. You come to the chat room, and that's where things happen. I can sit here all day long. I can sit here for 3 days in a row, not be on the microphone at all on my radio station. And then I can tweet to someone, two or three people, And I can go, hey, come on, meet me in the chat room. And then the next thing you know, about an hour later, we'll have 10, 15 people in there hanging out. And I can do that at the drop of the hat. And so can we. It's just about getting together. When we come together, when we unite, every time you do that, things will happen. What will happen? People will talk about what they do, what they are. Oh, well, yeah, you do that. Oh, yeah, well, how about we do this? And you see L.A. and I doing that. Okay?
Right.
And you might think, because I thought I was homeless. I didn't get a chance to go to college. I was mentally ill, drug addicted, domestic abuse, all of that. So I actually got a late start, okay? I'm 52 now, and I actually didn't get stable until I was 42. So it's just been a very short time, you know? But
even with missing thing that, I mean, I graduated from college. I was telling my mother this is one. In my opinion, the United States educational system, even on the Ivy League level, unless you're in medical school, something like that, which has a different teaching model than the rest of the campus, we're basically across the board in Western society miseducated. You cannot really learn a subject sitting in a class, reading a textbook, or listening to a lecture.
It's a complete waste of time.
Right.
Now,
the people that might think I'm crazy on that, I'm going to give two examples, actually three. We learn, for those who learn how to ride a bike, okay, we can do the academic way of doing it, which is sitting in the classroom, reading, taking the course, bike riding 101, then go to the physics of bike riding, the chemistry of bike riding, the aerodynamics of bike riding. You know, we can go through 12 years of textbook courses like that in a classroom, taking tests, going to a graduate degree of master's, PhD, and all the rocket science of bike riding. But if you do not actually get on a bike with the training wheels, fall off, scrape your leg, knee, and all that, that's learning how to ride a bike. That's real education. We did the same thing when we learned our, you know, for languages. We learned a 4-year-old or a 5-year-old can't, they don't know how to read, or let's say a 3 or 4 year. They don't know how to read. A 4 year is a bad example. A 4-year-old does not know how to read. They don't know how to, I mean, they're learning slowly, but so they can carry on a complex conversation at 4 years of age without learning, without knowing the academic part, which is the actual reading and writing.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So that's how, if you want to learn a language, get in the mix. Okay.
Yeah.
So in this country, we have been miseducated to point blank, you know.
Not only miseducated, deliberately miseducated, and or dumbed down. They stopped teaching cursive writing in school. They don't teach comprehension in school anymore. They don't teach that conceptual thinking and all of that. They don't teach us that. They teach them how to read and write, but they don't teach them the concepts of English language and all of that. They certainly don't. Mm-mm.
True.
Wow.
And as we've discussed before, and we'll have an offline workshop with a webinar that people that can attend will be online. Some of the basic life skills of home ownership. Now we're sold the bill of goods, and I'm saying this as a college graduate. So some people say, well, you didn't go to college. Now, I went to college, graduated and all that, 4 years, all that. We were sold the bill of goods that, all right, go to school. If you're able to go to a private school, you know, they got all these brand names, private schools. And then, you know, go to school, get a good education, and get a job. That's basically the ass backwards way to do things. And then on top of that, get a loan. So get a student loan, get a mortgage. Look, 200 to 250 years ago, or even now, that's why tomorrow we're going to be talking about Amish economics. You can build your own. Matter of fact, you can go on YouTube, type in build your own house. Watch a video, do some social networking. That's one way to get it. Because, I mean, other than that, the people that went through that, that were conditioned that way, they're in debt. And some of them might not even live to pay off the debt. So learn how to build your own. And, you know, actually, to tell the truth, I would say a homeless person that, you know what, really shouldn't be depressed, because basically you can start all over debt-free.
When I used to feel so hopeless and so awful out there, and then I can't remember, I just realized one day I saw myself differently, okay? I saw that I had never given up, that I always forced ahead, that no matter what, I always, I spent many nights and it was cold or it was raining, but then when it was raining, I had to look to find somewhere dry, and every time I always found somewhere dry. Okay, and so if I had to eat or if I was hungry, I had to go find somewhere to eat, and I always found somewhere to eat. I needed to bathe or I needed to do this, so I needed to find somewhere. And so when I looked back, I saw the successes that I was making. You see what I'm saying? It's like, well, I saw myself making it, okay? And so when I saw myself making it, I was like, you know what? I was like, I got some control here. I have some control of myself here, because guess what? When I want to go eat, I can still make sure, even if I don't have the money, even if I don't have a place on my stay, look, I've even got brand new tennis shoes and a brand new coat on myself, because I was smart enough to figure out to go over here and stand in line and get it. You know what I'm saying? Woo-hoo! And so when you start looking at it like that, you start seeing yourself empowered, and then you got it all in your hands. It's all in your it just whatever you want to do, and then just do it, you know? And I know it's a simple thing, but really you have to look at your resources. You have something. You have a circumstance. You have what you can do, what you want to do, what you can't do, what you ain't going to do, you know, what you better not do. And in all of that, you have to look at how are you going to do that. Then when you look at how are you going to do that, how are you going to do that? And then you figure it out, and it's just that mindset, that right there, okay? And that piece right there is what's going to connect you in with the social networking, because you're going to go like, you're going to look out at your other resources, and it's going to be people, and it's going to be things. But it's going to be people that's connecting the things through all of the tools that we have available to us, the phone, the internet, our mouths, and hand-to-hand, and stuff like that. Well, I hope I'm making any sense.
You are. Matter of fact, I'm taking notes. You know, I just got an idea from what you were saying. We had a guest on Monday night, and they were talking about a social experiment they did when they went out into the community. Their plan, original plan, was for two nights. They made it one night.
Yeah.
So if I just listened to you the last few minutes, I'm figuring that can be, talk about your skill sets, your assets. Have somebody like yourself give a workshop on that, and we actually go out and do it. So the thought of being out there without any cash or whatever, there will be no fear, and it'll be, I mean, you can go out, do what you got to do, and build from, you know, and leverage, as you use a few terms, leverage that.
So And when you said there'll be no fear, I want to tell you, because I looked and I saw myself taking care of myself quite adeptly, I was not afraid. You know, I was not afraid. Now, I'm not saying that there wasn't some dangerous stuff and I wasn't like that, but I mean, I was not afraid. Once I saw that I had full capabilities to take care of myself, even
right.
without any money, even without society turning against me, even the police showing me off because I'm homeless, not a criminal. You know, my goodness. But I you know, so yeah, with no fear. I just wanted to say that because it's
right.
it is a very fearful thing, but it's always fearful when you don't know what to do, and we all have it. It's all in us. It's all up to you because you're the only one there by yourself. You came in here in this world by yourself, and you're going out by yourself. And when you're sitting up, I don't care if you got surrounded by a house full of people. It's still you. You know, it's still
sure.
you inside that skin. I don't care. And so after mommy done fed us and put us out in the world, you know, it's all up to you. So you got to feed yourself, you got to live, and you got to use your wits. You got to keep
right.
your wits, people. Keep your wits, and use your head. Use your head and just think about possibilities and situations and then work with other people. Develop, you know what, make people like you make money. Make people like you make money. Don't use people.
Oh, I'm writing
that
one down.
We want to use people, but value people. Make people like you make money, but don't use them. People want to use them and for whatever and sucker them, you know. But value, it's a wonderful thing. One accord. That's really all it is. It's very basic biblical things that God told us to do. Love one another. Okay, you don't like being told love one another? Be nice to one another. Don't let
right.
me make you start breaking it down, you know. Stop rolling your eyes at each other. Stop breathing under your breath. You know what I'm saying?
Make people like you. Make money. Well, that's
yeah.
another show that comes from Robin. And we know what, I'm going to include that in the, when we do these offline workshops. That's a headline because you're right. Most people are too concerned with the material and
yeah.
backstab people and
yeah.
burn bridges and all that. And I'll give you a good example.
They almost got it, but then there's that thing that people do that they just kind of, they got to get people, or they feel better if they get over, you know, but if they get together
right.
and work with each other and leverage, everybody in the house is it's win-win, you know, it's lovely.
Right.
Okay, sorry.
There's a quick example before we go off. YouTube story, I guess, when little Viral was a black kid, he killed his mother over her bank account. She had like $90,000 in the bank account. So he killed her,
yeah.
got the money, making Facebook videos, YouTube videos, all this, flashing money, had all these fake girlfriends anyway. But now he killed his mother, who owned her own hair salon. And the thing is, that's an example of he didn't realize the value of people, because his mother could have set him up to make his own, have his own business where he could have made millions. So you're right.
Mm-hmm.
Make people like you make money.
Mm-hmm.
Because people are the goose that lay the golden egg. All right. Well, thank you, Robin, for this edition of It's My House. It's a pleasure as usual, and we'll be back tomorrow with Albert Lee. We're going to start our first of a series on creating money. And for the people out there listening, thank you for listening. Anyway, this ended because we got 5 seconds left. So have a good day, everybody listening. Have a good day, Rob.
Okay, bye-bye.